And let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we reflect on Paul's words from Romans, may we put our hope in Christ alone. Amen. What is it that God is looking for from human beings? What is it that will make us right with him? Assuming God exists, that's a crucial question, one that we can't ignore and deserves our attention. What is it that makes us right with God? Many people will answer that question, what makes us right with God, by saying that you need to live a good life. You get acceptance from God by earning it. You say you're sorry for the things you've done wrong. I've done my best. I've been a good person, so hopefully God will let me in. In The Sound of Music, Captain Von Trapp and Maria confess their unexpected love to each other, and they quietly agree that their good fortune is due to having done something good in the past. They can't believe why they've been so blessed. So as they sing the song, Something Good, they're saying, well, we must have done something good in the past to deserve our good fortune. But that's not what the Bible says, and it's not what our reading from Romans says. No, the Bible gives a scandalous answer. What makes us right with God is faith, and faith alone. And we think, that can't possibly be enough. So let's think why it is enough. This is our third sermon in our series on Reflections from Romans. And last Sunday we heard from Simon. Simon explained, based on Tom Wright's learned book on justification, that we have faith not only in the death of Jesus, God the Son, that guarantees our place in God's kingdom, but we also have faith in God the Father. We have faith in Jesus, our Savior. We also have faith in the Holy Spirit who guides us and comforts us and strengthens us every day as we join in God's work in the world. So faith is vital, and we'll explore what Paul means by it. Therefore, firstly, we're going to look at what faith means and how Abraham showed it in his life. Secondly, we shall be looking at what it is about faith that makes us right with God. And thirdly, what it looks like to exercise faith in practice. So, what is faith? There are a lot of ideas about faith, and many of them have little to do with the biblical conception. I have a friend who on occasion has said to me, I wish I could have your faith. I suspect quite a few of us have received similar comments from friends. And although it's probably meant as a compliment, it does actually seem as a bit of a backhanded one. They may be implying, I'm not as naive as you. I'm not as superstitious as you. Maybe you can believe in the impossible, but I can't. A lot of people think that faith is irrational and not based on reason. For example, Bertrand Russell, the atheist philosopher of the first part of the 20th century, said, we may define faith as a firm belief in something for which there is no evidence. Many people feel faith is based on feeling, not thinking. They believe that it involves turning off the critical faculties. To be a person of faith is to be a person who takes a leap into the dark. But that's decidedly not what the Bible means by faith. It's wrong to think that there are two kinds of people, thinking people and faith people, when in fact there is no real difference. Actually, most people are faith people. Most people live by faith. It's not a choice between faith and thinking. There's no real choice between the two. Many atheists claim to believe that there is no God on the basis of rational thought. But atheism also involves the faith. Josh McDowell, an American Christian writer, wrote, atheists also have faith, even if they claim that their beliefs are based on reason alone. Atheists have faith that the universe can come from nothing. Atheists have faith that life can come from non-life. Atheists have faith that consciousness emerged from matter. Atheists have faith for all sorts of claims for which, ironically, there is no evidence. We also think of ourselves as rational beings, yet if atheism is true, what gave rise to reason? An irrational process, chaotic beginnings starting with a big bang that had no particular purpose, that was not going in any direction, but then suddenly, with the lack of any reason whatsoever, by chance gave rise to thinking rational beings. On what basis? Whatever you want to believe, there's a leap to make, because it's not a choice between faith and non-faith. The idea that there's a difference between thinking and faith is ultimately a false distinction. Faith involves more than reason, but Christian faith does not defy reason. It's what or who we have faith in that counts. Faith should be faith in something or somebody. It has an intellectual content. If you say to a person, "I've had a bad day," and the person replies, "Just have faith that it'll get better," that's faith without an object. Optimism, maybe, but not very sensible, because you don't know for sure that the day will get better. That's just faith in faith, not faith in anything particular. True faith, faith that makes sense, is faith in an object. To give a simple example, take a chair. Someone asks you to sit down on a chair, but it's a rather old, dilapidated, and rickety one. What do you do? Do you immediately plonk yourself on it? No, you might ask that person, "When did you last sit on that chair?" And you might go up to the chair and push down on it, test it a little, before putting your full weight on it. And once you've given it a few tests, then you'll trust yourself to sit down on it. And such is the case with Abraham's faith, as Paul describes it in our passage from Romans. Paul wrote, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" What's the story? Abraham, 75 years old, heard God, and God said to him, "Move to a new land." Not only that, "I know that you're 75 years old. I know your wife is a swimmer age, but you're going to have a child." 25 years passed, but still there was no child. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah also very old, well past childbearing age. Looking at those factors, it didn't look particularly promising. But what faith does is not to look at some of the facts, but faith looks at all of the facts. There's one thing in relation to Abraham's and Sarah's physical condition that made all the difference in the world: the promise of God. So despite their age, Paul was able to write, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." Abraham believed God, and as Paul says, it was credited to him as righteousness. He looked at all the facts, not just part of them. Abraham knew God's power, and so was persuaded and believed. That's the nature of biblical faith. It's reasoned trust. Faith is always more than thinking, but it also involves thinking. So we need to exercise our minds as Christians by reading the Bible, by joining home groups where we can discuss our faith, by reading commentaries on the Bible and other books about faith, and by listening to sermons and reliable podcasts. There are many ways we can deepen our knowledge and faith. Now you may think, I'm not a great patriarch like Abraham. However, if you look back to the story in Genesis, you will see that Abraham was actually a very flawed character. Many of his actions were very wrong, and he caused considerable harm to his family. But yet God works through very flawed people. Faith is also a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the emotions as well, but it's more than a matter of the heart and emotions, and more than a matter of the mind as well. It's a gift of God, but a gift that is often given to us when looking at the facts. Faith is born by looking at the object of our faith and God's promises. And Abraham looked at God's power, and despite all his shortcomings and sin, he accepted God's promises and he believed. The circumstances may look bad, but not only can God do it, he has promised that he will do it. And Abraham ultimately believed God. That's what faith is about, reasoned trust. Trust in the Creator God of the universe. Secondly, having come to some conclusion about what faith is, we need to ask the next question, which is, what is it about faith that makes us right with God? What is it about faith that makes us acceptable in his sight? What is it that faith does? Actually, faith has no power in itself. It's the object of faith that makes things happen. What Paul is telling us is that God has done all that needs to be done to make us right with God. Jesus has lived the life we should have lived. Jesus died on the cross in our place. God raised Jesus from the dead as proof that God has overcome the powers of darkness and evil. God's actions have removed our sin and made us right with God. We can be forgiven because of what God has done through Jesus, not through keeping to the rules, because we can never keep all the rules. As Paul says, the law brings only wrath. Faith is simply the means by which we receive and enjoy God's forgiveness. Apart from Christ's work, we're helpless. None of us have a leg to stand on. We can't win acceptance by God through our own works. We can never do that. It was through faith that Abraham, a very flawed man, was made right, not through his actions. What we need to do is to give up striving and instead accept that all we need to do is to rely on God and all God has done for us. God's mercy is sufficient. Let's just accept that and be grateful. And thirdly and briefly, what does it look like to exercise faith in practice? Genuine faith is active faith. We're not made right by our works and actions, but as an expression of our faith and gratitude, we're called to live an active faith. Abraham didn't sit back and do nothing. He left his hometown and set out for the place to which God had sent him. And that's why in our parish we run the Milkwood Summer Program, Milkwood Kick, Job Clubs, and many other activities. And as we remember Windrush 75, we seek to play our part in combating racism. And as we think about our planet, we seek to play our part in combating the climate emergency. There are many opportunities for faith-filled service in our parish, so let's make the most of them. Our faith is reasoned faith. That doesn't mean there's no place for emotion and passion. Most certainly not. When we look at what God has done for us through Jesus, it's certainly right to give him thanks and praise and to worship him with our hearts and emotions as well as our minds. and we know we can worship him with our hearts because our minds tell us that God is real and loves us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us minds to reason with. Help us to use our minds so we can worship you in spirit and truth, with true passion and true emotion. Amen.